They're listening here. So, okay, so this is Parshas Toldos. And there's so much happening. But first of all, we're told, V'eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the chronicles of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham ha'ile des Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So, Rashi says, Eile Toldos Yitzchak. These are the chronicles of Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav, who are going to be talked about in the parsha. And the commentators all ask, you know, why was it necessary for the Torah to tell us these are the chronicles of Yitzchak, the son of Abraham? Abraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So Rashi's got a pshat, and everybody's a pshat, that people were saying. People were saying that Sarah really, she got pregnant from Avimelech, who had taken her prisoner. And so God made a miracle that Yitzchak's face was so similar to Avraham's face that everybody could see that Avraham had given birth to Yitzchak. So some of the Mefarshim ask, if that's the case, why did it happen here? Why does the Torah tell us that here and not previously? Why does it wait until Yitzchak comes to give birth, until Yitzchak starts a family, to tell us that he's really the son? So I think it's the Nois Desha who says that up until the point of the birth of Yaakov and Esav, nobody questioned where Yitzchak comes from. It would be good if you could press star 6. But now that this Rusha, Esav, is born, now people are asking, where does he come from? Maybe Avimelech put something into Sarah, not physically, but you know, like we have this medrash that the Nochash hitil Zoyhamo in Sarah, that there was something that some drop of evil that the snake put into Sarah that later comes out in Cain. That there's something that Avimelech does just by looking at Sarah that comes out as Esav. And so, you know, we need to be told that no, Avraham has given birth. The Nois Desha also says like this, that really we're told that Asher Avraham hoilid es Yitzchak. It doesn't say Yolad gave birth to, that Abram gave birth to Isaac. It says hoilid, which can suggest that it's an active, that he's the one who gives the power to Isaac to give birth. So in Ishbitz they said that really Isaac would not have married Rebecca. And the Torah says Asher Yolda Isha have the exact my, I'm just having a senior moment. Loi le Isha, and Isaac took Rebekah to him to a wife. Loi le Isha, he could have just said took her as a wife. Who's loi le Isha, to him? What are we trying to learn here? So, in Ishbitz, they said that really Yitzchak would not have married Rivka because there were areas in Rivka, in her family, in her background, that Yitzchak couldn't penetrate because they were dark. And Yitzchak, his midah, was not to get involved in sefekot, not to get involved in gray areas. We talked about this a lot when we were learning about the tribe of Levi, and how when you're in a state of yira, of fear of God, trembling at the presence of God, then you don't want to go into gray areas. You want to stay in the light. You want to stay where you know for sure God wants you to do this. And in fact, when you're in the light that way, you can't go into golus. You can't go into exile. Exile means leaving that light. And we see the Gemara tells us that Shevet Levi lo nishtabdu, that the tribe of Levi were never enslaved in Egypt. And in Ishbitz they said that's also a metaphor, because if you are always living in the fear and trembling in the presence of God, and whenever you're faced with any kind of a safek or gray area, you avoid it, then you can't be in Galut. You can't. Because gulas, exile, means leaving the light and going into where you don't know. We told Avraham Avinu, he gets tested. And again, in Ishbitz they said, what does it mean to be tested by God? If God says to you, do this, it doesn't matter how hard it is, you would do it. Right? Well, what is there that God would ask you to do that you wouldn't do? So what does it mean Avraham was tested? If God said to him, jump into the fire, he jumps into the fire. If God says to him, go to here, so he goes to there, right? If God says, take your son and kill him, it takes him. What's the greatest chachma? Why is it called a test? So in Ishbitz he said, it's called a test because Avram was never sure what he heard and how to interpret it. And there was always a voice inside him that was able to take that prophecy and twist it to mean something else. For Avram, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago at the end of the Akedah, and Avraham, before he walked away from the Akedah, he said, God, please swear to me that you're not going to test me again, which means you're not going to take your light of certainty away from me. That's the test, when you don't have the light and you don't know for sure what it is God wants you to do. And you have to operate out of something in yourself that you don't even trust. Because a person is olul, a person has a negia, a person, you know, we're all biased in certain ways. There's certain things that we can't see. There's certain things, I know, if I'm faced with such and such a nesoyon, such and such a test, I know I'm not going to be able to see 100% clearly, because it's like I want to, but my mind doesn't want to. My heart doesn't want to. My stomach doesn't want to. There's parts of me that will try and get me to do something because they want to do it. And I'll find myself making excuses, rationalizing. I know in advance that if I'm going to be in a certain situation, the Rishona once asked somebody, he said, if you saw a person dropping this 1,000 ruble and it fell out of his pocket and he didn't even notice it, and you're walking behind him and you see this 1,000 ruble on the street, what would you do? I said, Rabbi, I would probably pick it up and put it in my pocket. When he walked out, the Rebbe turned to him and said, ah, Ganef. Another Yid walks in, the Rebbe said to him, somebody's walking in front of you and it drops 1,000 rubles, what would you do? The man said, Rebbe, what I would do, I'd pick up the money and I would run after him and I would say, here, Moshe Yerkel, you dropped 1,000 rubles. And when he walked out, the Rebbe turned to his chaver and said, "Ah, shakrin, a liar." And a third person walked in, and the Rebbe told him the same thing. He said, "Somebody drops 1,000 rubles. What would you do?" He says, "Rebbe, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I would be overcome with a desire for the money, and I would. I don't know." The Rebbe said, "Now we're talking to a person. Now you're telling the truth. This is a person who's telling the truth." So we're so often we're taught to believe that the truth is you do the right thing. But when you're a chosid, you're real, then you know that's not the truth. The truth is you don't know. The truth is that you don't know. What's going to happen, are you going to have a siyata d'shmaya? Is God going to help you and you do the right thing? Or is God going to help you and you do the wrong thing? You don't know. You don't trust yourself 100%. When Avraham was going to Shecht Yitzchak, he didn't know. He didn't know if it was the right thing to do. He didn't know if he interpreted God properly. He didn't know if he was going to be able to follow through with it. He didn't know. All he knew is that it was very painful. A voice is going in his head saying, "Hey, old man, are you meshuggah? Why didn't you tell Sarah what, if you're such a big mitzvah, why didn't you tell Sarah what you're going to do? Because you don't think it's a mitzvah. If you don't think it's a mitzvah, why are you going to do?" All these voices in his head. Yitzchak didn't have any voices in his head. Yitzchak lived in the light. He said so many times that Yitzchak, you know, who was Yitzchak? Avraham prayed, "Rabbi Nishalolam, Master of the Universe, I'm telling you, if only you would reveal yourself, the whole world would believe in you, would worship you, the whole world would turn to be good. Please, God, give us a chance. All you have to do is reveal your presence in the world and everybody will be turned to become frumis overnight." You know, Avraham was a shtickle, a little bit of an optimist, you know. But God said, "Okay, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to reveal myself." You know, God has a sense of humor, right? Yitzchak is born. This is the revelation of the Shekhinah. Yitzchak. And, you know, it's gevura. It's not chesed. Avraham is saying, "Rabbeinu Shalom, if only you reveal yourself in the world, everybody will bow down to you overnight. You're going to become an overnight sensation." And God says, "Okay, I'll reveal myself in the world." And you know what? Everybody ran away. Everybody ran away. Shlomi used to say, "Nachamu, nachamu, ami, yom elekechem. Dabru Lev Rishlaim Kiru Eleho, speak to the heart of Jerusalem, call out." And he used to say, if God is speaking to the heart of Jerusalem, then why does he need to call out loud? And Shlomi said, you know, because for most of us, if Mashiach should turn up tomorrow, we jump out the window. We have so much shame, we have so much resentment, we have so much other stuff going on. In theory, we're all waiting for Mashiach, but if he should turn up, half of us go running away. So God says, "Dabru alev Yerushalayim, kiru aleh," call out to her, to those who are staying, you can speak quietly, but to those who are running away, you're going to have to call out, come back. And that's what happened with the birth of Yitzchak, you know. All the people who liked Avraham's way, which was, let's face it, it was a way of pure chesed, you know. When they encountered Yitzchak's way of worshipping God, they couldn't take it. Because for Yitzchak, there were no gray areas. He was in the presence of the divine all the time, not because he could feel it out there in the world and looking at beautiful sunsets, not even by looking at his mother's face, not even by looking at his father's face. That was not for Yitzchak the sensation or the revelation of the divine. It was looking inside himself. And to feel God. Yitzchak could never have married Rivka. What? To marry into that family of Besuel, those pagans? The Gemara says, if you want to know what your children are going to be like, check the chick and her brother before you marry her. If Yitzchak would have seen Lavan, how could he have married Rivka? If you want to know what your kids are going to be like, you know, look at your wife's brother. You know, in Ishbitz they said it was only because of Avraham that Yitzchak could marry Rivka. And that's why the Seder begins, Ele told his Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham hoiled his Yitzchak. It's Avraham who's operating here in Yitzchak, inducing Yitzchak with the omets, with the courage, for once in his life to step into the dark, to step into the I don't know what's going to happen, into that gray area, and to take a chance. And if not for that, Yitzchak couldn't have married Rivka. Loy le'isha, to him for a wife, emphasizes all that it's all connected with Avram. And this thing that Yitzchak can't go into the gray area, on the one hand, it's fantastic to be able to live in the light. On the other hand, Yitzchak knows that we have to go into gulus. And it's interesting that the exile of Egypt is counted from the moment Yitzchak is born. The Torah tells us, and the Yidden were in Egypt 430 years. We know they were only in Egypt 210 years. 430 years from the Exodus, working backwards, is the birth of Yitzchak. And even further back, to the promise of the birth of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak can't go into Gulus, and that's why God says to him, Shchoin Bo'oretz, I want you to live in the land, even though there's a famine. I don't want you going down to Egypt. Because Yitzchak can't experience Gulus, because Yitzchak lives in the awareness of the presence of the divine, in the fear and awe and trembling at the presence of the divine. What is it, the fear and awe and trembling at the ability to lose touch? Imagine, it's hard for us to imagine because we're not connected that way. But imagine we were connected that way, like Yitzchak is the awareness, the internal awareness of the divine inside, in your neshama, to hear your neshama speaking to you all the time. And to know that the connection, that this hearing the neshama all the time, is something fragile, that you can break it just by losing concentration, just by turning your mind to something. You can snap this thread of silk, which is your consciousness. And if knowing the divine was the most precious thing, because to know the divine is the ultimate pleasure, and you knew that with distraction you could spoil it, imagine what kind of a dynamic that sets up. Bnei Shalom says to me, you don't go to Egypt. You're not going into Gulus. You're never losing your connection. But you know, there's a flip side. The flip side is nothing ventured, nothing gained. There's two reasons that Avraham has to go down to Egypt. One is because he has to come out of Egypt. And in coming out of Egypt, he sets up history for us to come out of Egypt. Ma'ase Avos, Simen Labonim, Avraham's exodus from Egypt with gifts and presents and slaves and all this heavy stuff that he brought with him is like a forerunner, a vorspiel of how we come out of Egypt later, right? So that's one thing. But the other thing is Avram brings from Egypt, and he teaches us how to bring from Egypt all the netzotzes, all the darkness that contains the threads of light, and you know, all the stuff that's mixed up. Yitzchak doesn't have to go down now to Egypt to do that. Avraham's gone, and he's brought it back with him. But also, Yitzchak is the tree of knowledge. Yitzchak is the Eitz Hadas. And as we know from learning the Meir Shiloach, the Eitz Hadas has Toi Vera, has good and evil. But it's really like two trees. The Noach Station says there's the tree of knowledge, which is good. There's the fruits of the tree of knowledge, which is already mixed, good and evil. And the Medrash says, when there was a king who gives a gardener a garden, and he says, take care of this garden. And he gives him instructions. He says, I want you to prune it and weed it and do everything that needs doing. So the gardener takes care of the garden until he comes right in the middle of the garden. He finds this beautiful tree, and wrapped around this tree is another tree. A poisonous tree. He doesn't know what to do. The king has told him to take care of the garden, but here, if he takes care of the good, he's also going to be taking care of the bad. So he says, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this. And the Medrash says, this is why Avraham doesn't bless Yitzchak. He says he gives him everything. Doesn't say he blesses him, even though right at the beginning of the encounter with Avram, we're told God says to him, whoever you bless will be blessed, and whoever you curse will be cursed. And like, this is God giving him all this stuff, like the gardener, the king giving the gardener the job. But when Avram looks at Yitzchak, he sees, yeah, there's this beautiful tree of knowledge there, but wrapped around the tree of knowledge is good and evil. And he can't get involved. So he doesn't bless Yitzchak at all. The first blessing really is the blessing that Yitzchak blesses Yaakov. V'yitin l'cho l'kim mital ha-shamayim, which is what happens in this week's Seder. This is really what it's all about. And it can only happen because Yitzchak himself is the tree of knowledge. And the good and evil has been separated. As we were learning, it turns out that humanity never ate from the tree of knowledge of bad. We only ate from the tree of knowledge of good. And bad is death. So Yaakov never dies, because Yaakov is the tree of knowledge, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good. And Esav is the fruit of the tree of knowledge of evil, which is death. And Yitzchak himself is the tree. Now, there are things that are mixed up, good and evil. The good is mixed up with the evil, and the evil is mixed up with the good. And there needs to be the Birurin. And the good which is inside the evil is amazing. It's truly amazing. And the most amazing souls, if you can imagine, the neshama of Shmai and Avtali, the Rebbes of Hillel and Shammai, if you can imagine the neshama of Reb Meir, if you can imagine, you know, some of the great luminaries in our own time who have come from a dark place. And so Yitzchak loves Esav. But you know, Rivka never speaks bad. She never speaks Lushon Hara. We told Vayisroitzutzu Abonim Bekirba that when Rivka was pregnant, the Gemara says she went past a pagan temple. The baby feels like it's trying to get out. She goes past the Beis Hamedrash of Shem Ve'eva. The baby feels like it's coming out. And she realizes something very, very, very weird is going on. And she goes to ask, Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem, she goes to ask, what is it? And she gets told, you've got two nations, Shnei Goyim, Shnei Le'umim, you've got two great people inside you, and one is Arusha, and one is a tzaddik. She never tells Yitzchak what she hears. She never goes back home and says, you know, Yitzchak, I've got inside me a tzaddik and I've got inside me a rusha. She doesn't tell Yitzchak and she doesn't tell Avraham. She doesn't tell Avraham because Avraham, God promised Avraham that he will have a sweet old age. In fact, the Gemara tells us that he died 5 years early because Esav went out and came out as a wicked person, and Avraham didn't have to see that. And she never told Yitzchak. She kept a secret all those years that she knew that Esav was wicked, because she knew what she has to do with Yaakov. You know, we started when we were saying right at the beginning, what does it mean, Emes? Emes means I don't know. You know, when Yitzchak looked at Esav, he could see Esav's dark side. But he knew that the way the world, God has set up the world, in the dark are some of the greatest lights. And so he always believed in Esav that something amazing is going to come out of Esav. And so he says, when the prophecy comes on him and he thinks he's dealing with Esav, he says, come here, let me smell you. Vayorach es reach begodav. And the Gemara says, Rashi brings, reach boigdav. Yitzchak wanted to smell the aveira. He wanted to smell the sin in Esav. Because when somebody has greatness inside them, when somebody's truly great and has inside them those sparks of holiness, then in their sin is where you can smell that holiness. So Yitzchak, Vayorach es reach begodav, and he says, Re'ei reach b'ni k'reach hasoda shebech Hashem, says, look, the smell of my son, it's like the smell of a field. Rashi says it's Gan Eden. And the Zohar Kodesh asks, why does it say Reach Begodov, and he smelled the smell of his garments? And then it says Rei Reach Bani, look, the smell of my son. And the Ishbitz says, and Ois Desha says, that Yitzchak Likatchila, he didn't go to smell his son. He wanted to smell Begodov, Boigdov. Don't read it as Begodov, read Boigdov. The sinners, and he smelled the worst Jew that was going to come out of Yaakov. Right? And inside the worst Jew, the Gemara talks about Yosef, which he saw, you know, this man who the Goyim were afraid to go and plunder the temple, and this he wasn't afraid to go in. And he, you know, he showed the Goyim how to go into the Holy of Holies and just take out stuff, you know. They were afraid. And he said, nothing to be afraid of, I'll show you how to do it. And Yitzchak smells inside him the holiest Yidl. So he says, Re'ei Re'ach Beni. He says, look at the smell of my son. Smells like Gan Eden. You know, Yitzchak has two kinds of blessings because there's two kinds of gevura. There's tzchoik, there's laughter. You know, people don't realize gevura gets a very bad rap in the world. Think, oi, it's gevura dik. No, we've got to go for chesed. There's no laughter in chesed, chevra. Chesed, in theory, it's all about love, but it's laughter, you have to go to gevura. And really, we spoke a few times already, what is laughter? You know, as soon as I start to tell you the joke, a man walked into a pub, right? A gazillion jokes beginning this. What am I doing when I say that phrase? It's like I set up some tension in you. Oh, what's going to happen? Right? A man walked into a pub. Oh, what comes next? And then when I give you the punchline, what am I doing? I give you the punchline. It's not a punchline. It's a release. The tension lets go and you can let it go. And that what comes is laughter, right? That's how humor works. It's a tension and a release. That's gevura. Starts and stops. That's gevura. Gevura has laughter. You know what else gevura has? Gevura has sadness. Atzvus. Grief. When Esav comes and Yitzchak says to him, I'm sorry, I've given bo achicha b'mirma. Your brother came with trickery. So I thought he was you. Because Yitzchak knew that Esav is a trickster. That's why he said, that's why I thought he was you. You know, Imloy, he says, Ha'atu b'ni Imloy. In Ishbitzer, they say, Yitzchak said to this person who came in, he said, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the hands of the, you know, come here, let me see if you are my son or not. Why? What do I need to hear or not? So he says, the Imloy means, Yitzchak says to him, I don't care if you're gornished. I don't care if you're nothing. I don't care who you are. If you're Esav, I'm going to give you the brocha because I'm Gevura. Gevura is the law. The law says you're the oldest, you get the brocha. I don't have to look whether you deserve it or not, right? I'm going to give it you. Imloy, even if you're a nothing, I'm going to give you the brocha. If you're Esav, if you can convince me that you're Esav, right? So Yaakov comes with this trickery. That's what convinces Yitzchak that it's really Esav, because the Yaakov that he knows would never take a risk, would never do anything as underhanded. Yaakov ish tam, Yaakov's straightforward person. So he knows he's being lied to, and he thinks he's that could only be Esav. But you know what? Yitzchak's going to give the bracha to Esav because it doesn't matter, right? Then, when Esav comes in and he says, "Mi Eifoy, Tzadzai, who was this?" You know, and Yitzchak says, "I gave it. Borachicha b'mirma, gam borach yeh. He should be blessed." Va'avorcheu. Yitzchak says to Esav, "I'm sorry. I blessed your brother. Gam borach yeh. What is the gam? What's the gam?" Also, we know that gam is a ribui. Wherever you have the word gam, it doesn't just mean the thing itself. It means the thing itself and everything else. So Yaakov gets this blessing not just for him. He gets this blessing for everybody. He doesn't just get it for him when he's good. It's gam borach yeh. I blessed him with the gam, Yitzchak says. This thing which extends to everywhere and to everyone through all time. I've given this. I don't have anything for you. There's nothing left. And Esav starts to cry. What, you only have one brocha? Is that it? And Yitzhak gives him a brocha also, but he doesn't say vayivarcheu. It doesn't say he blessed him. It just says vayoymer. And he told him, because there's two kinds of brocha, because there's two kinds of gevura, because there's two kinds of Yitzchak. There's the inyan of tzchoik, of laughter, of joy, and this is what the bracha was supposed to be, right? He says, Aseli matamim, make me these foods, and he brings him a bottle of wine. Why? So that Yitzchak can go into the joy, because Yitzchak has this blessing inside him, which is the joy. And he gives that completely to Yaakov. He has nothing left to give to Esav. When Esav starts to cry, then Yitzchak has something for him. Because there's another side to Yitzchak, which is the atzfus. It's not a brocha, it's a giving. Oh, you're crying? Okay. So now you've evoked another kind of blessing. And he gives it to him. See, this duality is not there in Avraham. Because Avraham isn't the fixing of the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. Yitzchak has it in him. Yitzchak is the Eitz Hadas. And it says that as soon as Yaakov gets the brochas, then the whole world, you know, God says, Arura Adoma Bavurech, cursed is the earth. Oro Adoma Bavurech, he says to Chava after she's eaten from the tree of knowledge, the earth is cursed because of you. So the Zohar Kodesh says that when Yaakov gets the brocha, then the curse of the earth is lifted. It's all the curses are lifted, because this is the fixing of the eating from the tree of knowledge, because now Yaakov has eaten finally from the tree of knowledge of good, and Esav has eaten from the tree of knowledge of evil, and they're now separated, right? And that's what we were supposed to do. Now it remains for those sparks of light, of greatness, which are inside Esav. And you know what? What's the ultimate chutzpah? The ultimate chutzpah is if you can go into the lion's throat and grab the lion's food out of his throat that he's already swallowed. Chayil bola vikien, if you can get the predator to vomit up what it's eaten already and save it, that is the ultimate. And that's the job of Yaakov, is to take lachtoiv balamitoich piv, to take out from the mouth of Esav. And you know how do we do it? How do we take out from the mouth of Esav what he swallowed? It says, Esav says, Haliteini no mina odama odama zeh, put into my mouth. Haliteini, it doesn't mean feed me, it means stuff it down my throat, right? He says to Yaakov, you are going to have to like put it down, I don't even have koyach to eat, you're going to have to pour it down my throat. And it says, Vayoichel vayesht vayokom, Esav, he ate, he drank, he got up. Vayivez Esav es habachoyr. So it doesn't say an Esav ate. It doesn't say Esav drank. It doesn't say Esav got up. It just says he ate, he drank, he got up. And then it says Vayivez Esav es habachoyr. And Esav scorned the bachoyr, the firstborn. You know what it is? It's like he was only really him. Esav was only really him when he was being cynical, when he was scorning everything that Yaakov was doing for him, when he really, and that is how we get from the dark side, that's how we take the holy sparks, because really the dark side has such a scorn. They're aware of holiness, but they have such a deep scorn that they're ready to cough it up and give it away. It should be taken away from them. I bless you and me that when we encounter the holy spark, that we have the koyach to go right into the maw of evil and take it out there and get the evil to spit it out, so that it never even, you know, they don't even have a chance to swallow and digest, and that it be given freedom.